unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, over the airways of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, you're always welcome to send in your voicemail messages. If you want to be on the line, if you got something that you want to say but you don't want to hold forever and you want to leave a voicemail just for something for me to contemplate, you know what I'm saying, as you vent and get stuff off your chest, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. There's a lot to talk about today. Obviously, when you think about what transpired on Monday Night Football last night, there wasn't just one game. There were two games last night, okay? The Buffalo Bills fall to the Atlanta Falcons in the ATL, courtesy of a 24-14 outcome. The Chicago Bears, you know, won by a nose against the Washington Commanders on the road near the nation's capital. They lost that game 25-24. We're looking at it in the landscape right now, the power football, the NFL landscape, the power rankings, and there's a lot to discuss. But the first order of business is to get into another team, not just the Philadelphia Eagles, but another team who was undefeated, who we were talking about as the favorites to come out of their respective conference to represent a conference in the Super Bowl, in the Buffalo Bills. And in just 2 weeks, all of that has changed, courtesy of this 24-14 loss. The Bills entered the game leading the NFL in total offense. All right, the Falcons entered the game leading the league in total defense, and we saw who got the better end of that action, because the Falcons were all over Josh Allen. They blitzed them 71% of the time in the second half. They blitzed them 71% of the time in the second half. Now, I totally understand that when you look at Josh Allen, look at those numbers right there, 15 for 26, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. We'll get into Josh Allen's interceptions in just a second. But the one thing, and look at Penix with 20 of 32, 250 yards, plus a touchdown. Okay, young fella, I feel you. But we all know that Bijan Robinson was the story of the day. That guy came on this show just a couple of weeks ago. He was absolutely spectacular last night running the football. Obviously, when you look at what he brings to the table, you can't ignore it. Had 4 plays of 20 or more yards. That's Bijan Robinson. Had 238 yards from scrimmage. That's Bijan Robinson. We have to look at that and say to ourselves, the Atlanta Falcons, what kind of threat are they legitimately in the AFC South with Tampa Bay rolling the way that they've been rolling? What are the Falcons going to do this season? Because when we see something like that happen last night and we see that their record is now 3-2 on the season, we got to give respect where respect is due and recognize the fact that the Falcons might be a team to be reckoned with. But let's get back to the Bills for a second here. Season low, 291 yards. Josh Allen had 2 interceptions, okay? You're talking about a Bills team that had 8 turnovers the entirety of the 2024 season. And already they have 6 turnovers over their last 3 games, after committing only 1 turnover over their previous 12 regular season games. They went 12 regular season games, turned over the ball a grand total of 1 time, and in 3 weeks' time, they've turned the ball over 6 times. And Josh Allen has been responsible for 5 of them. And that's what I'm looking at right now, because it's harkening back to a time when Josh Allen, the stud that he is, was also turnover prone, and you knew that you could get him to be a bit reckless because he's trying to play hero ball. He had no turnovers over the first 3 games of the season and now has 5 over the last 3 weeks. And when you consider that, along with the fact that he was being blitzed all day, every day, particularly in the second half, 56% of the time for the entire game, 71% of the time in the second half, that's essentially the Atlanta Falcons saying, we ain't worried about nobody, we ain't worried about nobody burning us deep. We ain't worried about nobody hurting us. We ain't worried about somebody being able to get behind us defensively or anything like that. We don't have a concern in the damn world. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. And by the way, the Atlanta Falcons proved that they were right. And as a result, when you look at it, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, Keon Coleman and all of these cats, in the end, it comes down to James Cook and Josh Allen, and primarily Josh Allen. And the defense in Buffalo ain't much to write home about right now. So all of a sudden, when you come to that conclusion, You know where that leaves us, ladies and gentlemen, in all likelihood? Unless you are a believer in the Indianapolis Colts, because one could easily make the argument that they're the most well-rounded team in the National Football League when you consider the way that Daniel Jones is playing, when you consider their weapons at wideout, when you consider Jonathan Taylor out of the backfield, when you consider how they play defense, how physical they can be, one could easily make the argument that the Indianapolis Colts are the team to beat in the AFC if you believe in Daniel Jones. But if you still need proof, if you still want to be suspect on him because you remember all of those years of futility when he was a New York Giant, fine. Then you know what that has to concede? You have to concede that the Kansas City Chiefs have emerged once again as the team to beat in the AFC. That's what you have to do. They ain't even in first place in the AFC West. Yes, they opened the season with a loss to the Los Angeles Chargers in Brazil. But the bottom line is the way the Kansas City Chiefs looked on Sunday night against the Detroit Lions, knowing that Rashee Rice is finally coming back after his six-game absence, you actually have to look at the Kansas City Chiefs right now as the number one threat in the AFC unless you're gonna show a willingness to give that kind of love to Daniel Jones. It's the only way it works. It's the only way it works. There's no other way to slice this, okay? And I don't blame you right now. In my power list, my power rankings, et cetera, I would tell you right now, you put the Colts up there first. You could have the Colts as the number one or the number two team in the entire NFL in your power rankings. It's between them and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Kansas City's got to be in that equation when you consider the fact that they're coming and you know they've been there before because they've got Patrick Mahomes, because they have Aaron Reed, because you still have a veteran in Travis Kelce, because you have Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and now Rashee Rice expected to be on the field together for the first time since they played in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. And this cat Thornton is no scrub. And Juju Smith-Schuster is a veteran, even when he's getting slapped upside his head by that cat Branch from the Detroit Lions, who ultimately is going to incur a one-game suspension if he hasn't already. So you look at all of those things that's going on right now, and the fact remains that the Kansas City Chiefs, even if you don't have them as a top two team in your rankings, the fact remains you have to look right now at the Kansas City Chiefs on the come up and conclude they're the top threat. They're the top threat. That's how you have to look at it, because you can't put Buffalo in that equation. Not the way they're looking right now. Offensively, I mean, what do they have going for them? It's not much right now. Buffalo's been held to 34 points during their two-game losing streak to the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons, by the way. Two teams they were expected to beat a few weeks ago. This is after they averaged 33.3 points a game for the first four games of the season. Josh Allen, he's making mistakes because he's trying to do it because he knows he doesn't have much to work with right now. And that's what's really coming down to this. I mean, Curtis Samuel, Dalton Kincaid, Josh Palmer, all sidelined. So he's bereft of the weapons he's normally accustomed to having. That's going to be problematic for him. We all know that. And by the way, Branch has indeed been suspended for one game. I apologize for that. Forgot about that. He's got the one-game suspension. Got from the Detroit Lions that slapped Juju Smith-Schuster upside the head on Sunday Night Football. Bypassed Patrick Mahomes. Wouldn't shake his hand and then slapped Juju Smith-Schuster upside the head. Luckily, he had his helmet on. Drake London, 10 catches, 158 yards. That was a big-time touchdown. Stretching his arms out the way that he did, making sure he got into that end zone. Drake London, that dude. Brother can play. 158 receiving yards, showed out last night. But Bijan Robinson is something special to behold. There's cats talking about him and how he might be the best player in football. Brother can ball. Make no mistake about it. So now you're the Atlanta Falcons. You got your quarterback in Penix, your quarterback of the future. Bijan Robinson, assuming he stays healthy, you saw him 170 yards rushing, six receptions for 68 yards, including that 55-yard scamper. You know, you got to look at that. You got a playmaker like him. You got another playmaker like Drake London. Penix Jr. is no scrub. The brother can ball. Atlanta is doing some things right now. They outgained Buffalo by over 200 yards in the first half alone, 335 to 131. With Robinson and Drake London each topping 130 yards in the opening half of the damn game. That's the Atlanta Falcons that we're talking about right now. I don't think there's a reason to be this excited about the Atlanta Falcons since Michael Vick. Seriously. But there's a reason to be excited about them now. And I got to give credit where credit is due. Bijan Robinson ranks number one in the National Football League in scrimmage yards per game at 164.4. He's second in the NFL in rushing yards per game at 96.8, second only to Jonathan Taylor. And he's tied for the NFL lead among running backs with 5.8 yards per carry. This is Bijan Robinson we're talking about, who blessed us with his presence being a guest on this show just a couple of weeks ago. The brother's no joke. He's no joke. And when you look at Atlanta right now, you might have to pay attention to this. Okay? And in the Bills' case, listen. They came into the game with two starters, linebacker Matt Milano, the pectoral, you know, and Dalton Kincaid with the oblique issue. They were both out because of injuries. He had defensive tackle Daquan Jones. He suffered a calf injury in warm-ups. He was ruled out. Palmer was ruled out, you know, left the game in the first half, rather, because of his ankle injury. They lost linebacker Terrell Bernard. He didn't play in the second half because of his ankle injury. Buffalo is piling up stuff on the injury report. No doubt about that. They got to get that together. And until they get healthy, the fact is it's a struggle. And why am I bringing that up? Because of the unspoken thing, because we didn't want to say this. We don't want to be too forward. But are we looking at the possibility of the New England Patriots without Tom Brady as their quarterback winning the AFC East, dare I say? It is a legitimate question. I mean, I'm just saying. How are we going to answer that question? I think it's worth thinking about. I'm just telling y'all that right now. The Patriots are tied with the Bills, atop the AFC East. They've already beaten the Bills in the one meeting they've had. Vrabel clearly knows what he's doing as a coach. And oh, by the way, everyone concedes they have now found their quarterback of the future in Drake May. This brother right here, 1,522 yards passing, completes 73% of his passes, only two interceptions on the season in the first six games. Yo, y'all. Yo, y'all. New England is here. They coming. Got to give respect where respect is due. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Chicago Bears are another story. They squeezed out a victory against the Commanders 25-24. In fairness to the Commanders, inclement weather, uncharacteristic turnovers on the part of them, and, of course, Jaden Daniels. We know this. They didn't have their receivers, Noah Brown nor Terry McLaurin. Neither was available for Jaden Daniels last night. We got to remember that, too. All of that comes into play. We can't summarily dismiss that. But here's what this story really, really lies for me. Ben Johnson. Clearly, it appears this man is too early. They were 4-2 last year under Eberflus before they nosedived, particularly after that Hail Mary loss to the Commanders. So we got to take all of that in consideration. That is absolutely positively true. All right? But for the Bears to go in there last night and overcome a deficit and ultimately win this game, got to give credit where credit is due in that regard. Did y'all know that the Bears defense has three straight games with at least three takeaways? Y'all know that? Did y'all know that Dennis Allen's defense has 11 takeaways and a plus 10 turnover margin over the last three games? All Bears wins, by the way. Did y'all know that? Because I did. And I'm listening to Ben Johnson coach this team, and I'm seeing how fiery he is and how he gets in people's ass. See, you don't see that in New York with the Jets. You don't see that in Miami with Mike McDaniel. There's a difference between knowing football and being a leader of men. I have no doubt that Aaron Glenn knows what he's doing with a defense. I have no doubt that Mike McDaniels knows what he's doing with an offense. But can you lead men? Can you lead men? Ben Johnson is showing he could do that. Players are clearly bought in. Caleb Williams, 259% completions, nothing to brag home about. 252 yards, one touchdown, no turnovers, sacked three times. rushed for his second touchdown this year on Monday. Didn't have any rush TDs his rookie year. Right? And over his last 12 starts, Caleb Williams, over his last 12 starts, 14 last year including, all right, what? Last 12 starts, the six this year, the last six last year. 20 touchdown passes, only three interceptions. Caleb Williams can ball, y'all. He ain't no scrub. And it's not like the city of Chicago has had quarterbacks to brag home about. I mean, you had Jim McMahon and, you know, we are the best shuffling crew. Shuffle on down, do it for you. We're so bad, we knew we're good. Remember the Super Bowl shuffle? Hell with it, it was funny. Refrigerator Perry, Walter Payton and the crew, Richard Dent, those boys. I mean, we know who they are. And Jim McMahon was their quarterback. But he was no all-world quarterback. He was good enough to help them capture a Super Bowl led by Mike Ditka and Ryan. Buddy Ryan coaching their defense. Where the first time in Super Bowl history, we've seen both the head coach and the defensive coordinator carried off the field on a player's shoulders. We've seen stuff like that before. Okay, fine. But I'm here to tell you something right now. You look at the quarterbacks that have been in Chicago, the Mitchell Trubisky's of the world, the Jay Cutler's of the world, and others, Justin Fields of the world, others. Caleb Williams, you could make a legitimate argument, is the best quarterback they've had in Chicago since the 80s. Talent-wise, the brother can play. I believe in Caleb Williams. I'm here to tell you that right now. I believe in him. I'm not throwing this. I'm not lost on him, not even by a long shot. I want to be very, very clear about that. Chicago coming back and winning this game, they didn't look great in doing so, and they were helped by Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders not necessarily playing well, not even close to their best games. But the Commanders have one of the league's best rushing attacks, number two in the NFL at the time, and the Bears have one of the worst rushing defenses. They were second worst in the NFL. Yet Daniels ran for 52 yards, 10 carries, but the rest of Washington's ball carriers had 72 yards and 21 rushes. So they ran the football well last night. I'm talking about Chicago. Most importantly, because Swift was doing his thing, most importantly, they neutralized the run. This is a team that bought in. They heard all the noise. Ben Johnson reminded them of it, and he seems to know what buttons to push to get the most out of his players. And I respect that. And I got to give him love and respect for that. I mean, the man is doing a good job thus far. We got to call it like we see it and give him love for that and give him respect for that because that's what's happening right now. It's just that simple. It's the right thing to do in order to recognize it. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call us 888-623-3646. One other item I wanted to go to before I go to break and get to your calls and your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. I wanted to transition to basketball, but not because of basketball. I wanted to bring this up while we're talking about the Chicago Bears, to bring up the city of Chicago. Because Doc Rivers, a Chicago native, and a long time, he's the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, but he's been a long time NBA head coach, coaching the Orlando Magic, coaching the Boston Celtics, okay, coaching the Los Angeles Clippers, coaching the Philadelphia 76ers, now coaching the Milwaukee Bucks. I love Doc Rivers. Love him to death. He's a friend. I love him. He spoke, you know, over the last few hours, denouncing ICE activity. We all know who ICE is with immigration and what have you. But denouncing ICE activity in his hometown of Chicago. Milwaukee's third preseason game was Sunday night. And Doc Rivers used his media availability to speak out against the mass arrest by the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency in Chicago. He said, quote, it bothers me. It's just awful what you watch and see. People getting zip tied. I mean, that's not this country. That's not what we're about. I think every American is good with if there's criminals on the street, we want to arrest the criminals. My dad was a cop. My dad would not be proud of this. He would have a major problem. I couldn't imagine my dad going to work right now and have to protect ICE agents and doing what they're doing. I think he'd call in sick. End quote. That's Doc Rivers. I have a political show, SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. is every Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. I'll elaborate more extensively on these quotes from Doc Rivers tomorrow. But let me say this. I don't disagree with a single syllable he uttered. I completely 1,000% support that quote that I read from Doc Rivers. Having said that, I want to say this as well. When asked about the mayor, Mayor Johnson in Chicago, he said, I think the mayor's done an amazing job with everything he says. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure he's done an amazing job, and I'm not sure he's done an amazing job with everything that he said. This is not a time, and I'm not trying to be critical of the mayor. But what we need to remember, and I say this about all of us in sports, we are allowed to be conscientious observers. If we have an audience and we have the power to influence lives, we should go about striving to do that in a very responsible fashion. The operative word is responsible. When you're being responsible, one or two things must happen. Either you're objective and you don't play favorites, or when you play in favorites, you emphatically state so and why, so the public at large knows exactly where you're coming from and why, and nobody feels hoodwinked. I am a person who emphatically believes, you understand? I mean, we're a gorgeous mosaic. And I don't want to see this kind of stuff going on in our country. But I also know that in the city of Chicago, there's been some things going on for a long, long time pertaining to violence that hasn't been addressed nearly as effectively as it should. And it transcends administrations, locally, statewide, or federally. No one is absolved from blame. It was going on when before Obama got to office, once he was in office for 8 years, and then after he departed, and he was a junior senator representing that area, and before he became the president. So I get where Doc Rivers is coming from, and I understand. And he's a voice that I think people need to hear when it comes to an issue like this. My man Michael Wilbon for PTI, pardon the interruption, my big brother, the godfather, he's a Chicago native. He would know as well. I think y'all need to hear voices and listen to voices like that. The renowned sports writer from the Washington Post all of those years, even before he was doing PTI with my man Tony Kornheiser. When you talk to me about a Doc Rivers or a Michael Wilbon, I'm here to tell y'all. You should listen to what they have to say. You should hear what they have to say. I didn't say you agree with every syllable, but these are highly intelligent and incredibly conscientious individuals who I look up to, even when I do disagree on something here or there, which is very rare when it comes to them. But when you're going to speak out on behalf of a city, and you have every right to do it because that's your hometown, be prepared for folks to challenge you and your facts and what exactly it is that you do support. Because for those who may potentially be naysayers to anything that came out of Doc Rivers' mouth, what they're going to say to him is, okay, you highlighted the problem. What's the solution? You have to have an answer if you're going to highlight the problem. That's all I wanted to say about that, because I don't disagree with Doc Rivers. I just want him to be prepared for this issue not to go away and for him have to answer even more questions about a subject he chose to broach. He's got to be ready to answer that. It's the only reason I brought this subject up. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Plus, if you want to leave your voicemail messages, go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. You think your team's got that dog in them? Prove it. Put your voice on record at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. All that and more coming up. Plus, I got more NFL stuff to get into. More baseball to get into. More voices to be heard. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.